For those of you who don't know me, I'm John. I'm the assistant pastor here. It's a pleasure to be with you, to share with you today. Let's just open up with a quick word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today and all that you have done already and all that you're going to do, Lord. We thank you for this time together. Just ask that we would be open to whatever it is you want to speak to us today, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So today, I have something that I believe God has put on my heart that I want to share with you for just a few moments. And I'm going to say something. It's a word that I heard recently, not the whole message, but this one specific word. And I think it applies to us. The word is that as Christians, we sometimes are waiting for a wave from the Lord when he's called us to dig a well. And when I heard that, it resonated with me. So I want to define that a little bit, okay? Because last week, you heard me talk about the fire, right? The illustration of the fire in our lives, the passion we have for God. And there's times where we have this fire going, but then it gets doused in a fuel of sorts, whether it's a lighter fluid, gasoline, or whatever, and it becomes this raging, roaring fire. And how God wants to do that in our lives. And it's awesome when God does that. I believe he did that last week in many of us, as we experienced that God did that. So today, we're talking about keeping that fire burning. And with that, I want to talk about that word that I just spoke, that sometimes we're waiting for God to give us a wave when he's called us to dig a well. So last week, we experienced the wave, and it's awesome when God does the wave, when God pours out his spirit and it floods us and overwhelms us, and it's just this incredible feeling and experience that we have. But then the wave, just like in the ocean, the wave comes in and then it goes back out, and then eventually another wave will come in and we'll experience his presence in a powerful way that refreshes us, that restores us, that sets us back up for the next thing God has called us to do. But those waves are always with the purpose of enabling us to accomplish what God has called us to do. Just like in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit showed up, just like in Acts chapter 4, just like last week, just like any time in our lives when that wave comes, it's to enable us to accomplish what God has called us to do. So then, to continue on, God has given us his Holy Spirit within us. It's not something that just comes on us and goes away, but it's actually within us. It's a well within us. And I want you to picture an old school well. Right, so this pit in the ground, maybe some cobblestone stones around there, a little rooftop on it, and a bucket on a string, right, that goes down to the bottom of the well. And that bucket is used to draw the water up to be refreshed by. But there's an energy that's exerted to get to the water. There's always water in the well. And that's our first point, is you can always find water in the well of what God has placed within you. That refreshment, that sustenance, everything you need from God, it's in that well. But we have to do our part to get it, right? So God has called us to, these are the spiritual disciplines. This is reading our word. This is spending time in prayer with God. This is serving. This is going to church, being around other believers, doing the things that God has called us to do. But in those things, as we do them, we experience the refreshment that he has for us. And I know, like Gail had mentioned, and I'm sure many of us have felt this way, where it's like, God, if I have one more thing on my plate, I'm just going to burst. It's just too much. I've got too much going on. And then God says, well, take time to do this, or go over here and do that for me. And then it's in that you find the refreshment that you need, because God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows what's going to restore you and refresh you and bring you life. And Genesis chapter 26 talks a lot about this. We're not going to go there for the sake of time today, but I encourage you to read it. It talks about this principle of digging the well and doing what God has called you to do, that work aspect of it. So I encourage you today, be willing to do the work of drawing water from the well, because the water's always there for you. But you got to do your part to access it, to tap into it, to draw on it, so you can experience what God has for you. Our second point is, and this one you might say when you hear it, like, John, you know, how about some good news, right? But it's, you will always face opposition when you're pursuing God. Jesus talks about this in John chapter 16, especially in verse 33, where he says, you know, I tell you all this because in the world you will have trouble. But take heart, for in me I have overcome the world. Right? And so the victory is assured for us if we tap into God, if we do what he's called us to do, our victory is secured and assured for us. but we're going to face opposition. But the opposition I want to talk about, because sometimes we do experience opposition from outside sources. Jesus warned us of that. That entire chapter talks about it in John. But another opposition you will always face when you're pursuing God is an internal one. It's what the Bible calls the flesh, the part of us that is warring against the Spirit, right? Because God's placed the Spirit within us, but then there's the part of us that says, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing that. God, I think you're mistaken. That person doesn't seem ready to hear that word from you yet. You know, the part of us that battles God and just fights him when he's asking us to do something. And I want to read a passage of Scripture found in Romans chapter 8. And we're just going to read verse 13 is where we're going to start. And it says this, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." So we can count on this, and the Scripture talks about this being that internal tug of war, that your flesh, your old man, that sin nature in you, always wants to do what it wants to do, what feels good, what looks good, what is pleasant and pleasurable. And then the Spirit of God always wants to serve God. And it creates that tension within us, that conflict that we can count on experiencing every time the Spirit of God whispers in our ear. But God has placed his Spirit within us. And if we have that tension, that means he's given us the power already to overcome the flesh. And he's called us to live at a higher standard. And the perfect segue, I feel like, for this is my third point, which is to keep the fire burning in our lives, to keep that fire blazing, going strong for us, requires that we feed it. Now, I mentioned these two first points are kind of ways that we can feed it, but those are not enough to feed it alone. Because what God has destined us for, what God has called us for, our purpose here on earth is truly to be in relationship with Jesus. I want to read you a verse in Luke chapter 10. And starts at 38. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her.'" So if you're like me, this verse feels like a bit of a kick in the teeth, right? My love language is gifts of service, or acts of service, rather. You know, I show you that I care about you by serving you. I show you, you know, I experience that you care about me by serving me, you know. So when Jesus says to Martha, only this one thing matters. The spending time with me is the essence. It's like, no, but God, you don't understand. This is how I show you I love you. And meanwhile, God is saying, what matters to me is that you make time for me, that you come and sit at my feet, that you just be with me. A taste I've gotten of this recently is with my young daughters. I have a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old. And some mornings, if I'm up extra early and just kind of you know, reading my Bible or just having a drink of a chai latte or something like that as I'm waiting for them to wake up. I don't do coffee. I know. It's shocking, right? But yeah, if I'm having a tea or something like that, you know, and then one of them wake up earlier than they normally do, and they come, and they just, you know, come dragging their little blanket behind them, and just reach up, you know, as I'm sitting there, and I scoop them up and sit them in my lap, and they don't want to talk at that point. They don't want to, you know, hear my plans for the day or what I'm going through. They just want to be held by their dad. They just want to sit there, just be comfortable, just as they're still waking up. You know, they're still half asleep. Sometimes they'll drift back off to sleep. Other times, you know, we'll end up in a conversation. But that was a glimpse for me of what this is. What God is saying, just come and sit at my feet. Just be with me. Get to know me better and allow us to spend this time together. And through that time that we spend together, you'll discover more about yourself. I'll correct the wrong thinking in your life. I'll expose to you what's going on, what's preventing you from drawing closer to me. I'll show you the path that I have for you, the plans and the purposes I have for you. And it's all rooted in this relationship-based love that I have for you. And I sense God is calling us as a church back to this place of the secret place, you know, back to this place of intimacy of saying, Lord, we want to spend time with you. We just want to soak in your presence. And out of that soaking, we'll discover what service he wants us to do. We'll discover what he's called us to be involved in. We'll discover the things that we need to be refreshed, the things in our life. But we are called to this presence of Jesus again, to sit at his feet, to not become distracted by the many tasks that need done, but rather to come and say, God, you are enough. Jesus, I just want to be with you. I just want to know what you have for me. And while I was preparing this message, I believe God spoke to me very clearly that there's two groups of people here today that God wants to minister to, God wants to speak to in regards to this. And I wrote them down so that I wouldn't miss any part of it. The first one is you're in a relationship with God. You know who Jesus is. And you know your salvation's secure. You know you're going to get to heaven one day. But you feel like a second-class citizen of sorts in the kingdom of heaven. You're telling yourself, yeah, I've made so many mistakes, and you carry a lot of shame and guilt, and you say, because of my past, because of what I did maybe even yesterday or the way I think, there's no way that God wants to just be with me, that he wants to speak to me, that he wants to like be that close with me. And you're allowing that shame and guilt from your mistakes to keep you from pursuing God. And God's saying to you today, just right out of Romans chapter 8, that you are my child. Not only did I have you, but I adopted you. I chose you, knowing your flaws, knowing your mistakes, knowing everything you go through. And I said, I love you and I value you and I care enough about you to adopt you into my family, and I'm proud to call you my child. God says that over you today. The second group, and this is, God just spoke this so clearly to me, is you feel the need to earn God's presence. You feel you need, if you're serving hard enough, if you're loving others, you're doing everything right, you're checking the checklist off, then God will speak to you. If you're doing it right, and then if you don't, he doesn't have time for you. And you feel you have to earn it. It's a very performance-based status you have with him, is how you feel about it. So some weeks are good. Other weeks aren't. But God's saying the same thing to you, that you are my child. I love you. I just want to be with you because you're mine, not because you earned it. In fact, you can never earn it. You could never do good enough to earn it on your own. But I love you so much. I just love being with you. And I have great things for you. If you'll continue to just pursue me, just pursue my presence, and I'll reveal to you what I have for you. But you don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. And if that's you, I encourage you, check out Galatians, the entire book of Galatians. It's a short book, but it talks about this, is you can't earn his approval or his favor. It's because he's already given it to you. It's a free gift that he just bestowed upon you because you're his child and he loves you. And in this moment, I want to invite you to stand to your feet. As we prepare to close today, I just sense there's a third group of people here, and that's, you're an individual here, and you are yet to start your journey with God. You're yet to say, yes, I'm in. I want that relationship. I need my life to be put on that course that God has for me. I want to begin that partnership with him. And if that's you, I I even invite you just to be bold. Just with every head bowed, eyes closed, if you just raise your hand so I can see it. Just if that's you. All right. Thank you, Lord. I see that hand. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Lord, right now we come before you, and I just ask each and every person here, just even if it's quietly within yourself, just say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me today? Lord, we invite you to speak your truth over our lives, to correct any wrong thinking. At the early service, we heard a word based on those feeling guilt and shame. That often you've had this put on you by other people. And that is not how God sees you. That is not God's truth. And you need to reject what they've spoken over your life and accept the truth of who he says you are. That you are his child. You are loved. And you are valuable. Lord Jesus, we accept your truth today, that we know a word from you can break the chains that have kept us in bondage for years, Lord Jesus. And we speak freedom over your people. If you're here and you just want to receive that today, just raise your hands to heaven just as we close in prayer. Lord, you see the hands of your people that are asking for freedom from you, God, that they want to accept your truth, your healing, your touch. And I ask that you encourage each and every one of us to just spend time at your feet, to just get to know you even better than we ever have, Lord. Because it's in that place of relationship that we are changed, that we are restored, we are refreshed. We thank you that you are a personal God and you love us so much. You just want to spend eternity with us. We thank you for it. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. If you're an individual that want to ask Jesus in your life, please see me. I'd love to walk through that with you. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.